tattoo tattoo. Walked in the tattoo shop, gave a loud holler, said I want a tattoo for a half a dollar. Betty Lou, Betty Lou, got a new tattoo. Betty Lou, got a new tattoo. Betty Lou, why oh, why oh, why oh. Betty Lou, got a new tattoo. Sat him in the chair, gave a man a dime, said I want a tattoo up and down my spine. Betty Lou, Betty Lou, got a new tattoo. Betty Lou, got a new tattoo. Betty Lou, why oh, why oh, why oh. Betty Lou, got a new tattoo. Where she gets her money, I'll never tell. If she don't stop away, she's going go to jail. Betty Lou, Betty Lou, got a new tattoo. Betty Lou, got a new tattoo. Betty Lou, why oh, why oh, why oh. Betty Lou, got a new tattoo.
Hello everyone, welcome or welcome back. Me and my friend Talia, say hello.
Hello bro.
We are doing an impromptu set and it's gonna be awesome.
And it's also a historical set.
It's a historically awesome set and it's gonna be really fun. Because
we're gonna be doing flashcards.
Me and Talia have been doing flashcards for 2 weeks straight. We're very, very good history students. Yeah. And we're learning about medieval Europe. So we're going to give you some facts.
And now you guys will learn about medieval Europe.
Exactly. So I'm going to let Talia take this one. She's going to give you a fact about one figure from medieval Europe.
Yes. Today we're going to be talking about Petrarch, who kind of kickstarted the Renaissance. He lived through the Great Plague and the Hundred Year War. And he was like living through the Hundred Year War. And he believed that Europe needed to get back to a period of antiquity because, like, the period he was living in was mid.
Yeah, he didn't like it too much.
And he created the idea that the time period that he was living in was the Middle Ages. And he wrote letters to Cicero.
Yeah, he was a little self-absorbed. He wrote letters to the future
and the past,
which we read in our history class, and it was basically like, I don't know if any of my work is going to be relevant now, but I just wanted to say hello.
Yeah, he was trying to be humble.
He was trying to be humble, but...
He was attempting to be humble.
Petrarch. Yeah, he was alive from 1304 to 1374.
Yeah, and he believed that people needed to start reading classic Greek literature again. So
that's it from us.
All classics major, thank Petrarch.
Yeah, everyone thank Petrarch. Say thank you, Petrarch.
Thank you, Petrarch.
And we're going to thank him, and we are going to move to some music still. If you were listening when I just started, it was a bit chaotic. We had a good amount of people in here curious about the radio station. We did a little tour, but now they're gone, and now it's just me and Talia. So it's going to be awesome. We're playing, I don't know what genre of music would we say this is?
Playing like 60s garage rock right now.
Yes, this is our study break. So if you need a study break too, please tune in to us. We would love it.
What's the thing that they say in like Willy Wonka, like listen up.
Listen up.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Listen up and we're going to remember it, and we're going to tell you next time we talk. But yeah, we're going to start off with Run Chicken Run by Link Ray and his Ray Men. So yeah, we're going to start off with that. It's going to be great. And we'll check back in a few. We'll be right back.
It was a teenage wedding and the old folks wished him well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They furnished off an apartment with a two-room Robux sale. The coolerator was crammed with TV dinners and ginger ale. But when Pierre found work, the little money coming worked out well. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They had a hi-fi phone, oh boy, did they let it blast. 700 little records, all rock, rhythm, and jazz. But when the sun went down, the rapid tempo of the music fell. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They bought a souped-up chitney, was a cherry red 53, and drove it down to Orleans to celebrate the anniversary. It was there where Pierre was wedded to the lovely mademoiselle. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. Truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell.
Hello, welcome back. You were just listening to You Can Never Tell by Chuck Berry. The wonderful Chuck Berry. We love Chuck Berry. We were just dancing in here. Before that, we heard Jane in the Jungle by the 5678s. And before that, we heard Run Chicken Run by Link Ray and his Ray Men. So that is what you just heard. We are having a lot of fun in here. And I'm going to let Talia pick out a card for me to tell you about. As she's picking... If you are just tuning in now, we are doing some medieval history for you. We have a big test coming up tomorrow, and it's going to be great, but we thought we'd just let you guys know some of the information, too, because it's pretty interesting, although there's a lot of it. Okay, the conciliar movement is your term of this set, and it's a movement to make councils a supreme authority. So at one time, a lot of... Only popes had the authority and only bishops had the authority, and it was pretty bad because they weren't really talking to anyone about what they should be doing. They're kind of just making rash decisions, and this was happening around the time of the Great Schism and also the Avignon Papacy. If you don't know about those, we'll probably come back and tell you about those. But yeah, it was pretty influential movement because it gave the council's more authority, and it kind of changed matters in the church at the time. So that's a conciliar movement for you. Talia, do you have anything to say?
Do you want to talk about
Henry VIII? Yeah. Oh, let's talk about Henry VIII. Should I just keep talking? Okay. Henry VIII, if you don't know Henry VIII, he is of the six wives. And if you need a way to remember it, it's divorce, beheaded, died, divorce, beheaded, survived. That's how I remember it. But we're...
Fire.
Yeah, it's really good. We're in the beginning of it, so we're at divorced, beheaded. And the first person Henry VIII was married to was Catherine of Aragon, who was kind of involved in some other problems that Henry was kind of seeing, like with Charles V, and Catherine of Aragon was Charles V's aunt, which wasn't that great because there was blooming problems with Charles, more to be said. But yeah, he ended up, this is a very brief overlook, but he ended up basically starting a new religion to get out of his marriage with Catherine of Aragon. He ended up marrying Anne Boleyn, who's really awesome. I did a lot of papers on her in high school. And she had Elizabeth the First, who's really cool as well. And we'll probably do her as a term later. But yeah, those are your two snippets of history for right now.
And he sold a lot of nunneries and old missions because he made himself the supreme, like, authority and did away with, like, the papacy in England.
Yes, all very interesting. Henry VIII in general is very interesting. We have a lot of terms to remember about him, but...
You see what he looks like? He's kind
of funky looking. Everyone look up a picture of Henry VIII right now. He's a funky guy, but, you know, he's in my history because I'm British. Yeah, we're going to start our next set, because we've been talking for a while, but we're going to start with Commotion by Creedence Clearwater Revival, and it's going to be awesome, and we're going to check in soon. So, listen to our awesome music, appreciate it.
Dance hard.
Dance hard. We'll be back shortly.
We'll be right back. I've been trying to show you over and over. Look at these, my childbearing hips. Look at these, my ruby red, ruby lips. Look at these, my work strong arms. And you've got to see my bottle full of charm. I lay it all at your feet. You turn around and say back to me. He said she
Thank you.
guys. Finals are coming up. Having trouble remembering things lately? Whatever your reason, now is the perfect time to start focusing on your relationship with your brain. We don't often think about it, but maintaining our health up there is just as important as any other form of health in maintaining longevity and quality of life. In particular, good brain health may lead to better emotional health and more opportunities in your day-to-day. So what are some things that you can do to help your brain? Well, for starters, you can get that sleep that you keep saying you need. Rest is one of the most important factors in keeping a brain healthy. Like a muscle, rest is needed after periods of activity as a form of cool down. Deprive it of that rest and that brain becomes overworked, and that's when bad things tend to happen. Speaking of muscles, getting regular exercise is also an excellent way to maintain your brain health. In addition, short bursts of use can help to work your brain when not doing so intensively. Try reading a book, doing a puzzle, or playing an instrument on your time taking a break from studying. Anything relaxing that requires focus. This has been a message from your brainy DJs here at 90.1 WRFM Burlington.
Okay, thank you, Talia. It is a very timely message because we're about to go into finals season. Finals week starts next week for anyone who doesn't go to UVM.
And for probably everyone who knows.
Yes, for everyone who already knows, and we're going to tell you again. Yeah, we're going to tell you again. It's finals week, and guess what? Me and Talia are studying as we're on air, which is kind of crazy and pretty cool. So, we are doing
history. We can do it history. Both. We can be awesome DJs, and we can be awesome historians.
Yes. Okay, so, as we say, we're studying for a history test tomorrow, and I'm going to Get you a girl who can do both, and I'm going to pick out a term, and we're going to tell you a little bit about it. So, hold on, we have a lot of, You know what? Why don't we just go simple and do the Great Plague?
So the Great Plague can be traced back to actually the Justinian Plague, which was centuries earlier.
And also, is that the same as the bubonic? I think it's later as well.
The bubonic plague is maybe it's the Great Plague.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm just making sure she knows, guys, because I totally do.
The Great Plague is from fleas that lived on rats, and it killed somewhere between 25% to 50% of the European population in the 1347.
Yeah, went on for quite some time, and it continued coming back.
And the European population didn't recover until like the 16th century. Is that insane?
Yeah,
it's crazy,
guys. That's crazy. I wouldn't want the Great Plague on me.
Mm-hmm. No, ma'am. And the Great Plague led to a lot of persecution of Jews because they were put
to blame.
Yeah, they were made to blame. But it also allowed for peasants and serfs to gain more rights as there was a shortage of them. And so they were able to have more power in that way.
Yeah, and things were still happening at the same time. The Hundred Years' War was going on a little bit. It started a little bit before the plague kind of broke out completely. So, you know, they weren't completely shut down, but still pretty bad.
Yeah, so you got the Hundred... It was just... And that's why medieval history is thought to be the Dark Ages, because when people think of medieval history, they think of the Great Plague, the Great Famine, Hundred Year War, the 30-Year War...
Yeah, lots of things
but happening. But it was actually quite a prosperous time. Yeah. And I think it's a common misconception that medieval people were ignorant, when in actuality they weren't. And I mean, like, in the Great Plague, they were aware that it could be caused from, like, a good preventative measure would be better sanitation. So... They didn't, like, completely not understand what was happening.
They knew. It was just hard to combat.
For sure, because they had no vaccines back then.
That's why we learn history, so we can prevent things like this in the future.
Yeah. COVID.
Yeah, COVID. Coming from a history major and a maybe history major. It's going to be great, guys. And just send us your good vibes. But we're going to... I never said what we just played, so I'm going to say that now, and then we can go to some music. We just listened to Eaten by the Monster of Love by The Sparks. Death in Diamonds by Depth Charge. Sheila Not Gig. I love that song. I've been listening. I played it on my show yesterday. I was being a little naughty and I played it. But guys, it's really good. It gets me going crazy. And we heard at the beginning of the set, I Got a Girl by Dean Carter, and also Commotion by the Creedence Clearwater Revival. So yeah, we're going to keep going. We're going to start with some Courtney Barnett. Courtney Barnett's awesome. If you don't know her, you should know her. And yes,
Anna's always talking about Courtney Barnett.
I love that woman.
Listen to her.
Well, we're gonna listen now.
That's gonna change.
Well, that's gonna change very soon. All right, I hope you guys enjoy. Goodbye.
I tried my very best, like ice cream? Can I lick the crumbs from your table? Can I interfere in your crisis? No, mind your own business. No, mind your own business. Can you hear those people behind me? Looking at your feelings inside me. Listen to the distance between us. Why don't you mind your own business? Why don't you mind your own business? Between us, can you hear those people behind me? Looking at your feelings inside me. No, mind your own business.
Next up, we got Can You Taste the Waste by Ween on my favorite Ween album, The Pod. I feel like The Pod, people usually, like, don't say The Pod's their favorite Ween album, but I feel that it's the most, like, brown, and, like, it was really hard for me to get into it, and now I, like, love it so much because it felt like I, like, overcame a hurdle of, like...
Overcame the battle.
I overcame it, like, being hard to listen to, but it's, like, it's really...
freaking good.
It's really good.
Okay. Enjoy.
Enough anticipation.
Enjoy. Okay, guys, that's it from us. I hope you enjoyed our impromptu set.
I mean, I hope you feel
more intellectually stimulated than
Yeah, should we leave them? Should we leave them with one last term?
Yeah, let's leave them wanting more.
Okay, let's leave them wanting more. Okay, hit me with a term.
Let's do
Guys, you wouldn't believe how many different flashcards we have. I think we have maybe 60 in here.
Do you want to talk about the Avignon Papacy?
Oh my god, I would love to talk about the Avignon Papacy. Okay, we're talking about...
Tell them.
I'm going to tell you guys. We're talking about this a bit before. We have to do quickly because the next DJ is in line. And ready, set, go. Avignon Papacy is kind of a string of seven popes that just decided, I mean, not necessarily decided, but pretty much decided to move over to Avignon, France, from the original home of the papacy, which was in Rome. And it was a string of seven popes, started with Pope Clement, and they were there for a while. They were there from 1309 to 1377, and they weren't, as far as spirituality, I mean, obviously they were popes and they were doing what they needed to, but it wasn't anything crazy that they were doing in terms of spiritual stuff, but they were really good with bureaucracy.
Which, how did Catherine of Siena contribute to the end of the Avignon Papacy?
Oh, Catherine of Siena is pretty cool. She's a mystic, which means that she got a message from God to bring Gregory, who was the last pope of Avignon, over to and back to Rome, to bring the papacy back to Rome. That didn't really work out because the Great Schism happened, and
they brought the papacy. She was successful.
She was successful, but long term.
Back to Rome.
Yeah, long term, it didn't. It took a second.
Yeah.
But we're gonna leave you with that. You can research more. It's gonna be great. I hope you enjoyed our impromptu set. This is me, DJ Sarge. Usually my show's on Wednesdays from 8 to 9 a.m. But next Wednesday is my last Wednesday, and I'm here with my friend Talia.
Yeah,
so thank you for tuning in, and I hope you guys have good luck on your finals, good luck on the rest of the week, good luck on the weekend, and yeah, we're out. Bye.
you could only be tuned to WRUV FM Burlington 90.1 on your radio dial.